going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murrah. They'll help you draft your last will and testament. Set up a trust or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today. Based in Fairfax, KMLawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. KMLawyers.com. They're local guys. Went to Lake Braddock, went to Mason. Huge D.C. sports fans. So let them know that you heard about them on the show, and they'll get you a great deal on whatever it is they're going to do for you. We are at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly off Route 50. We will be here until 6:30 this evening, taking you up to the draft and Game 3 for the Capitals. So come on by and get some food and drink and hang with us on a big D.C. Sports Friday. It is time for your Beltway Blitz. Right now, we will kick things off, get it going with the Commanders. I want to get some intel on the newest Washington Commander. James Crepia is with us on Grant and Danny, covers the Oregon Ducks for the Oregonian. There's a new tackle in town, as you may know, James. Josh Connerly was taken last night at 29. What do we need to know about the tackle?
All you need to know about him is that he's a 3-year player. And at that position, at the line of scrimmage, that usually means something. Yeah, those are supposed to be developmental spots, supposed to be real hard to get on the field, particularly at the Power 4 level, particularly in the Big Ten and the SEC, and be on the field and be effective that quickly. And Oregon had to make a personnel package for him as a true freshman in order to get him out on the field and figure out a way to utilize him, both as a blocker and it's made the rounds here the last several hours I've seen from across the country. But yes, he even caught a touchdown pass as a true freshman because they needed to figure out a way to get this really athletic and gifted young guy on the field. And yes, he was a heck of a blocker too. And then this season, they even threw him in on a 2-point conversion run. So Connerly can do a little bit of everything. I wouldn't expect necessarily all those trick plays immediately as a rookie in the NFL, but point is, he's really talented. He's really physically gifted. And as a true freshman, they found a way to get him on the field. And he was a star of the past two seasons and shut down some of the best edge rushers, including this season in the Big Ten against Abdul Carter. And that's the kind of caliber player you're getting from a former 5-star from the Northwest out of Seattle. Bit of a rivalry here between those two schools. And he came in with all that attention and it was a big deal. And he lived up to it. So he's already been a guy who's had a lot of, the perceived pressure on him. That's been there for years, and like I say, he's done nothing but live up to it.
James, for games that maybe it didn't go as well, what's kind of the common theme there for him? And again, there may not be any of those data points, but just thinking about what he might need to work on or anything he could struggle with at the next level.
Honestly, he didn't have a ton of those instances. There really weren't, and that's partially a credit just to how good Connerly is, and partially a credit to for as many good edge rushers that he went against, and there were several. Washington had a couple. Like I mentioned, obviously Penn State with Abdul Carter, and Ohio State had a couple as well. There really were not that many instances of him getting, blown up. You just didn't see that. Now, the one clip that just went completely bonkers back in January from the Senior Bowl, That was his first rep at right tackle on the day, if not on the year, maybe his life, because he had been at left tackle the whole time at Oregon. And he was going to go against the FBS leader in sacks. And then a rep later, he then stonewalls Mike Green. That one didn't go as viral. That didn't catch all the attention. So in terms of what can he do better, I mean, you heard from plenty of people, Daniel Jeremiah included, saying, yeah, he can work on a little bit of his bend. And Josh doesn't run from that. He was asked about it, obviously, at the combine. He said, yeah, you get knocked down, you don't stay down forever. And by the way, like, this happens on a football field. This happens in practice. It's not the first time. But by the way, like, how about all the times that have done well, too, kind of thing? Like, yeah, that happened, too. But, like, how about the next one? And how about games and other instances? You know, yeah, but what could he improve on? A little bit of bendiness and certainly going to the right side, if that is indeed what Washington asked him to do. That's just going to be something he's going to have to adjust to. And he's open to that. He talked about it last night, I saw. But he's talked about that throughout the draft process, that he'll play whatever position is asked of him. And if it means going to the right side, even though he's been on the left before and more comfortable on the left, then he'll shift to the right and he'll train on that.
James Crepy of the Oregonian. Before we let you go, I've read a lot about the strides he made this season, that he basically came further than maybe anybody else in the first round mix since week one of the college football season. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm not going to be divulging exactly who I spoke to, but let's put it this way. A extremely highly regarded personnel evaluator in NFL circles, who I have the good fortune of having a source here. I chatted with him back before the regular season Ohio State game. So back in, it was either late September, early October, kind of heading into that one, because obviously there was going to be a lot of talent on that field that day. Saying, okay, what do you think of X, Y, and Z? Connolly among them, Harmon, you name it. And at that time, prior to the October game in the regular season with Ohio State, this gentleman said that Connolly was a third rounder at that time. At that time. Then obviously had the rest of the season that he did, and between how he performed in the regular season game against Ohio State and some other, you know, edge rushes along the way, and then ultimately the Big Ten championship game with Carter, where, I mean, Carter was basically a non-factor in any way, shape, or form in that game. That did it. I mean, those are the kind of performances that's what earns you All-American status. That's what earns you the opportunity to ascend so rapidly into a first-round pick from, yeah, he was going to be probably bound for the draft entering the year, and we'll see exactly what that looks like, to, oh, no, he's definitely going, to, oh, he's a first-rounder going. That's the kind of meteoric rise, but it helps when you go up against future NFL edge rushers against Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State in particular.
Love it. James, really appreciate the time and insight, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's hit that cap sounder, please, Darius. Washington Cavaliers. My God, that's Ben Raby's music back on the Beltway Blitz. Benjamin, game three tonight. It's going to be a hostile environment. What are you predicting here for the Capitals? What's the key?
Danny, we'll see if we remember how to do this here. Looking forward to game three tonight. And worth noting in Montreal, you know, the electric barn that it is up at the Bell Center. First time they're going to actually have a full house at the Bell Center for playoff hockey since 2017. They had a run during the COVID year, 2021, when they reached the cup final. Attendance was very limited in Canada during those months, during the playoff run in 2021. I imagine it'll be an amped up building tonight in Montreal. That being said, what I'll say from the crowd in Montreal, and I say this from firsthand experience, having grown up there and having lived there for you know, quite a bit of my life, they'll support the Canadiens. It's not necessarily a hostile environment, if you follow. I don't think necessarily the Capitals have a whole lot to worry about in that regard. I think the crowd could be advantageous for Montreal. That said, if you're the Capitals, it's almost cliche, get through the first 10 minutes, the place is going to be energized, you get up early, as they did the other night, or as they did going back to game one, you know, that would certainly work in their favor. But no, it's going to be a good atmosphere there tonight, but certainly a crowd that the Canadians could feed off of. And obviously, from a Capitals perspective, just looking to limit that, particularly early on.
All of our Caps playoff coverage on G&D is brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For over 25 years, Ace Trim has been a trusted partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry and handle everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. Ace Trim the home builders trade partner. Then Alexi Protas traveling with the team. They're up 2-0. It seems like an odd time to crowbar him back into the lineup if he's not quite 100%. I guess number one, would you be surprised if he played? And then number two, when he comes back, I keep wanting to talk to someone about this. Who sits? I would have said Radish. He was awesome in game two. Leonard would have made some sense going into the playoffs. He's been great twice now. I don't think they want to sit Lars Eller, who's probably their weakest link because he's a center. You'd have to move McMichael over. What do you think they're going to do?
Yeah, we'll call that a first-world problem. It's a good problem to have, to the point that you brought up that, you know, they're playing well, the names you mentioned. And, you know, you look back to late in the regular season, seemingly in that instance, Radish would have been the odd man out, to quote-unquote 13th forward. You're right, Eller. I thought Eller so far in the series has showed himself very well. So a good problem to have. You know, if you sit Ryan Leonard, I don't think necessarily, you know, folks will necessarily raise an eyebrow to that necessarily just yet, given the order and the pecking order, if you will. But I would think it would be one of him or Radish to sit. Again, going back to the formation that they had late in the regular season, just before Protas went down, and they did have, you know, as many as 13 healthy forwards up front. But, no, looking forward, whenever it is, I don't think, to your point, you necessarily have to rush Protas back here. You're hoping, right, for a lengthy postseason run. You're hoping you could rely on him without looking too far ahead, second round, conference finals, and potentially beyond. So given the cushion you have as well, you know, certainly there's no urgency necessarily to rush him back. But to your point, encouraging nonetheless that he's on the road with them.
Benjamin, the script has been pretty similar for both games. Capitals have won them both, obviously. They've been the better team for most of the night. Then all of a sudden, Montreal has this sort of desperation, last-ditch effort, whatever we'll call it, where they're, you know, pelting the net and the shots even up and the game totals even up, and the Capitals have had to kind of withstand that that barrage. How do they avoid those that kind of circumstance here where it might tilt Montreal's way?
I think it's the nature of how the games have unfolded. Obviously, look, they have a lot of high-end skills, the Montreal Canadiens do. They have a terrific number one line. They have a very mobile defenseman in Lane Hudson who can push the play and push the pace. And when they're trailing, as they have been in these third periods, it's natural that they'll be even more aggressive, you know, maybe than they were in the opening 40 minutes when the game was tighter. But, no, to the Capitals' perspective, you want to try to tilt the ice a little bit more in your favor. Fortunately, Logan Thompson has been terrific in these third periods in particular, particularly the other night in game two. But, you know, I think a little bit of that is just the nature of the game. You know, again, they're pushing the pace, Montreal. They're, you know, they're going all out trying to come from behind. I think it's a little bit, you know, game dictating the situation as well.
Caps Canadians, game three tonight. Series shifting to Montreal. Ben, we appreciate you, brother. Good having you back on the Blitz.
All right. Appreciate it, fellas. Thank you, guys.
See you, buddy. Let's talk football. Ethan Cadeau over at Monumental Sports. We're going to double dip with him on both of the things that he covers. But I want to start with the Commanders and the draft. What did you make of the selection of Josh Connerly last night? Nobody really predicted it.
Yeah, that's exactly like you said. I was not expecting them to go left tackle or offensive line at all after the Laremy Tunsil trade. But as soon as I did, I don't know, 2 to 3 minutes of research after the pick, it's hard not to like him. He's young. He's super athletic. I heard, I think, McShay or Mel Kiper, one of them said if he went back to Oregon for one more year, he'd probably be a top five pick. Look, Jaden Daniels is the biggest investment this team has, and it's really hard to complain about getting a solid offensive tackle that could block for him for years to come.
Ethan, so is he the right tackle? That means Brandon Coleman is?
I would assume he gets kicked into left guard to start. I mean, remember, Sam Cosmi's probably going to miss at least the beginning with that knee injury, so you could move Allegretti over there. You could also kick Andrew Wiley from right tackle into right guard where he's played and succeeded in the past. I don't think drafting a right tackle was so much of an indication of, oh, we don't think Brandon Coleman can play both. It's more of, oh, Coleman's probably better at guard. He can play tackle, but we can get this other tackle, and then we'll get just an overall better product of young players to protect our young franchise quarterback.
What do you think they're thinking about 61 tonight now?
I mean, I think they really want to trade back and get more picks if that's an option. It just seems like the trades went before him last night, so that's why they stuck at 29. If they stay at 61, I'd probably say an edge rusher. The guy from UCLA, Femi Oladejo, is one that stands out. They could also go cornerback. They could go receiver. I'd love to see if Luther Burden falls down. I don't think he'll be there, but that's a guy I've had my eye on long before the Devo trade, long before the moves they made this offseason. And then we know they want to add a home run level running back in this draft as well. If Trevion Henderson somehow makes it to 61, that's a player I'd sprint to the podium for.
Ultimately, do you feel like they – well, let me phrase this way. Their needs that we perceive from the outside, do you think they see them the same way, or are they not even concerned about the needs of the team at this point? They're just simply going by their board.
I think it's the latter. I think if needs was the number one priority, I don't think they're taking an offensive tackle last night, especially with edge rusher Mike Green was still there, cornerback Will Johnson still there. I mean, I think the needs that fans and media and everyone thinks are pretty similar to their actual needs, but I think Adam Peters went into the draft with, let's get the best player available at 29, and let's take that philosophy throughout the draft, because there are multiple holes we need to fill, and if the Commanders can do that by getting the best player available, I think that's the way they're going to repeat the success they had last year.
Ethan, you work over at Monumental. The Caps are a bit of a breadwinner over there at this point. They are the playoff team, as it were. What do you make of Game 3 tonight? Montreal's going to throw everything at them. Can't fall down 0-3, obviously, at home.
Yeah, I think the Bell Center is going to be rocking, as we all expect. I mean, playoff hockey there is unlike any other building. I think the Caps need to make it through the first 10 periods. Get used, or 10 minutes, sorry. 10 periods would be a lot.
That's a lot. If we got to do 10 periods tonight, your boy's going to be keeled over by the seventh.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the series is over in the next 10 periods. But the first 10 minutes, they get through that. They get acclimated to the crowd, the energy, everything it is. Look, they've been the better team for 85 to 90 minutes of the two games. I mean, the third period, Montreal's kind of thrown everything they have. And for game one, they're able to tie it before Ovechkin's the hero. And then game two, Logan Thompson makes 14 saves in that final frame. I think Montreal is going to try and press early. They get last change, so it could be a little bit harder for the Caps to get Dubois' line on the ice at the same time as that Suzuki line that's really propelled Montreal into the playoffs. So I think getting one win, if the Caps win either game three or game four and have a chance to clinch the series at home, I think that's a big win no matter what.
Ethan, thank you, brother. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate it. You guys too.
That's Ethan Gaudeau. That's our Beltway Blitz. By the way, more on the Caps with Joe Beninati. He is the voice of Caps hockey. You will see him on the call tonight on Monumental Sports. He stops by in 40 minutes at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan Live. So looking forward to chatting with him. I will say that you can listen to the game on The Fan at 7:30. Pre-game starts at 7:15 tonight. John Walton will be on the call. That means the Nats will be over on the Team 980 this evening. We will have postseason puck here on The Fan. Joe B in 40 next. 61. That's the next pick for the Commanders. So we are a little over, you know, almost around, basically, 30 picks away from them being back on the clock. Do they need to trade back? Would you consider trading back to add more ammunition, a want or a need? Remember, they only have 5 total picks coming in, so 4 left. And as of this moment, if they take a pick at 61 tonight, they will not pick again in the top 127. So you'd basically be adding 2 guys that are expected to help you much at all this season. Is that okay with you, or do they have to trade back? Is it a want or a need to move back? That's the question on Grant and Danny.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
At Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly off Route 50. It's a pretty good location. A lot of people saying they're just stopping by, hearing us on the radio today, which is the goal. That is why we are here.
That's right.
Get some pizza and drinks and hang out with us. And a party is DC Sports in the spring is blooming right now. We've got the Capitals playing game three tonight. We've got the Nationals welcoming Juan Soto back to town in Nats Park. And we are diving deep into the NFL draft rounds two and three tonight. Normally a little busier on paper going in than it looks to be right now. The Commanders have the 29th pick in the second round, that's 61 overall, and then they are not expected to have a third-round pick. Their next pick after 61 is not until 128, and that is a pick from Houston they got back to even things out in the Laremy Tunsil trade. So you're talking about the potential, if they do not trade back at 61 when they're on the clock tonight, to only have two players out of the top 127 players chosen in this draft. And that is why, Danny, it is my opinion that it's not a want. It is a necessity. Mm. I think you've got to do everything you can to trade back at 61. I know it takes having a dance partner. I understand you can't make anyone trade with you. So if there's not a deal, that's fine. But last night, you don't want to take 90 cents on the dollar when you got a tackle you really like. You don't want to take even 95 cents on the dollar. You need to get the value or you make your pick. I totally understand that. I think this is an 80, 85 cents on the dollar situation if need be, because you've got to get at least one more player that helps you this year. They have too many needs. They still need a speedy running back. They need a wide receiver. And then they desperately on defense, where they were terrible last year, need an edge rusher. They've gotten worse there. They need a corner. They're probably a little better than they were, but still very much unsettled. I can't just address one of those spots at 61 and then have late round picks after that. You got one more shot to move down, because let's face it, moving down from 128 just means you're taking more fifth through seventh round players.
Sure, and I'm not interested in that. I mean, those guys love that maneuverability, and they love having extra bites at the apple, so to speak. But to me, those are just flyers, honestly. You're picking in the top 100 is generally where I think of. This is where your starters come from. You know that there are stories about the fifth round or the sixth round or the seventh round of the undrafted free agent that made good, and those are great stories. They're unique stories, right? That's not the norm. The norm is the first few rounds are where your base, your year over year, your sustainable players are coming from. So your axiom makes a lot of sense to me that you feel like to quote you, it's not a want, it's a need. Where does the line go, though? And that to me is what's always fascinating, because given the preference, I'd like to move back. I'm making this up. I'd like to move back six spots and pick up another third rounder. Is that realistic? Probably not. You know, who knows exactly what it is, but just to use your dollar analogy, what cent do you have to get to where you go, yeah, it's not a great deal for us, but it's extra ammunition. That's what we need.
I think probably around 80 cents on the dollar. Mm-hmm. I would do upper 70s maybe. Here's what they need.
Because it's worth more to you. It's almost like I'm just going deep with these analogies now. You're using the laundry machine. The dollar, the whole dollar isn't worth it to you. You need the quarters. So it's almost, I'm like, I'll give you the dollar. I need three individual quarters.
Totally.
Stop with this stupid thing.
Here's where I'm at on it.
And you're doing whites and darks. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah, and any more laundry stuff?
Yeah.
What does it smell like?
Fabric softener.
Downy.
What you're using is one of those strips. Okay, go
Gain.
Ahead.
I think there's Gain.
Gain is good.
That's the orange one,
that's
right?
That's the orange one?
No, that's green. Green is Gain.
Orange is Gain?
Orange is Gain. I don't know. Third base. I think that I need a pick tonight. So you got rounds two and three going through, what would that be, like 96 or whatever? You know, and then you have the comp picks after that. I'd like to come out of it with two picks tonight. I think that would be perfect. If you could trade 61 and then you're picking, say, in like the 70s and the 90s, if there's a team with two of those, that's wheelhouse. If it's 70s and early 100s, which is more realistic on like a Jimmy Johnson trade chart or something, I'm fine with that. But what that gets me then is two players still before that 127 range, where I think you're adding someone who helps you on special teams, who's a depth player that isn't going to start. But the two guys that you bring in, depending on the position, should both be able to be impact players. Like, I believe a running back in the 90s or the early 100s could end up being their best speed back, could end up being their best home run hitter still. I think that a speedy wide receiver in the 90s or 100s, that's the range where you could steal someone there.
Yep.
You could find a guy that by week 11 is actually a key contributor. I don't think that's the case at a lot of positions. You're not getting a tackle that starts right away. You're probably not getting a guard that can start there. But that's why I can wait on running back or receiver if I need to until the second of the two picks I'm adding, 90s, 100s, whatever. As an example, they got Luke McCaffrey, I think, with the 100th pick in the draft last year. Now, he didn't end up making a huge splash, but there were other guys that were taken there at the position that did. They happened to like Luke McCaffrey more, and he helped them as a kick returner, and he looks like he can play a little bit. But let's say you get your burner 1 to 115, and then in the 80s somewhere, when you've moved back from 61, and it doesn't have to be that far. Like, I think if you move back to the 80s, you're probably picking in the 80s and the 90s. You're not getting a late 120 or something. Uh-huh. You know, but I think the first of the picks then is probably your edge or your corner. If you stick and pick at 61, you can get a good edge. I believe that. I think there might be somebody there for you. You're just now not able to fill another need, and they have too many. So the poll right now that we're asking on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account, do you want them to trade back or do they need to trade back? I'm actually surprised. About 68% of people are saying they want them to. Only 32% of people are saying it should be viewed as a need. And this is our Grant and Danny poll of the day brought to you by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience.
And obviously it's so dependent, right? You need the dance partner. You need someone that's got a conviction about a player or a spot, and they're afraid someone else will get them. And the storm's got to be right. You don't just do it, as we always say, just to hear yourself make a phone call. But I'm with you in the sense that, well, let me rephrase. I really would love for them to do it. It would make me really happy, especially because they didn't last night, right? Because they didn't add more picks to move back just a couple of spots or a handful of spots or whatever. I'm really looking in that 70 to 90 range is kind of my sweet spot to add a couple of picks. But that early third round, I think there's some really good value there where it's, you know, maybe that's where I'd feel much better about getting my speed back. I'd feel much better about, maybe you find Benjamin Morrison there, the quarterback from Notre Dame, who I like an awful lot. It probably ends up going in the second round. But, they're speed wide receivers. This kid, Kyle Williams from Washington State, is kind of a poor man's Matthew Golden. Golden didn't slip to you at 29. He went at 23, I think. But he's a different version of that, a faster deep threat who may not have the full skill set right away, but you didn't draft him for the full skill set. You drafted him to go deep a couple of times and take some pressure off. I mean, I'm making those names up. I have no association with them necessarily. The team didn't have any smoke there. But you see where I'm going. It's a I don't want to trade back just to say that I did to get to the hundreds. But yeah.
So this is just a simulation that I'm running on Pro Football Network. But just as an example, I punched in the 61st pick to see what the value might look like. And the Saints in this hypothetical were coming up for 71 and 93. But I've got to give them 128. I would do that in a heartbeat.
That's what I'm talking about, basically, right there.
That range is what you just allude to. Mm-hmm. But it's 2 for 2. So I'm not adding picks. I'm still only getting 5 picks. But now I'm getting 3 players in the top 95 and 3 guys that I think probably help me. So instead of a starting edge, but no corner that's on the field a lot or no running back or receiver that's probably going to make a big impact, now I'm getting 2 of those 4 needs checked. Another offer comes up where you could trade back a couple of picks and maybe get a future pick from a team. Seattle, in this hypothetical, is offering a 3rd next year. That's not as interesting to me. I need picks.
I want it this year.
This season. Yeah. But could you be okay with sticking and picking? Like if I was to tell you tomorrow we're talking and they've only made 2 picks and they're not picking again now until the end of the 4th round, basically a 5th round pick, can you talk yourself into that? That would be hard for me. At 61, there's going to be really good players. Maybe Quinshon Judkins, the running back from Ohio State, is there. People are going to probably be licking their lips. I love this huge wide receiver, this 6'4 kid from Iowa State, Jaden Higgins. Like maybe Jaden Higgins sitting at 61 is someone they've got high on their board. Without really knowing who they love, it's hard to say who they'd have to pass on. But you could get an edge, maybe Braden Swenson from LSU Falls. They could go back to the Oregon well with Jordan Burch at cornerback. I'm just looking at who might be there at 61.
Yeah.
Denzel Burke from Ohio State, Dorian Strong from Virginia Tech, Jacob Parrish from Kansas State are kind of viewed in that area. I actually like the Iowa State corner a lot. He's really long. Darian Porter supposed to be in that mix around the 60s as well. So if they take one of those guys that's highly rated and they've only got 2 players coming out, they go tackle, and let's just say they go Porter the corner, mm-hmm. and now they don't pick till the 5th round, can you still feel like this is okay?
I would feel okay about it.
Would you be underwhelmed?
I'd be a little bit higher. I'd be whelmed. Maybe whelmed plus almost, because I'd be so enamored with the concept of saying no, we're prioritizing Daniels, that it would kind of tip it over the edge for me. But I wouldn't be blown away.
I just think you've gotta.
I know what you, I mean, your point's right. I mean,
they need more quantity.
Yeah, it's what we want.
I'm all for quality, but they really do need more quantity.
So let's say 60. I'm making this up. Let's say it's 61 for whatever reason. It happens like it always happens to Howie Roseman, where he just sits there with like a voodoo doll and a horseshoe up his tuchus, and the guy that shouldn't be there is there for him, right? And he just takes him. So again, I'm making this up. Let's say Jordan Birch, the edge from Oregon, is there at 61. Well, holy crap. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to move around. You didn't have to trade back up. You didn't have to change anything. And you draft Connerly's teammate, a guy that's, you know, pretty well regarded that some folks thought could go at the beginning of the second round or even late first for whatever reason. If that happens, I'll go, I'll feel pretty good. If it's, and I hate to use this because it sounds simpleton and fantasy footballish, but if it's not sexy, if it's a, you know, not a dire position of need and it's like, hey, we happen to like this off-ball linebacker and he'll probably play special teams, it'll be hard to feel excited. But you know what I mean? Like if somebody slips, you're going, okay, that now that feels better than moving out off the spot.
Here's a team to keep in mind. Delta just tweeted me the chart for tonight. San Francisco's got 43, 75, and 100 all coming up here prior to the fourth round.
Yep.
So just tonight, second, three, and then three plus, they've got three picks. It's like Washington last year, if you remember. But San Fran has 43, 75, 100. If you could move back with them and get two of those picks, let's go. And Adam Peters has their phone numbers, I think. He's familiar with their work, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. What's the perfect situation for tonight, and could you be okay if they just stay put, they don't trade back again, they have two players and then some long shots to help them a bunch this season? 800-636-1067 is how you can join us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We are at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly.
Welcome back to the radio program. Brent Nanny here, live at Pupatella in Chantilly. I am stuffed. That's my personal update. I had so much fried dough with sugar and Nutella on it that I needed a late afternoon espresso. My buddy Ryan Clary, corporate Ryan Clary, who is here at the behest of corporate, our corporate overlords, to watch over us to make sure no impropriety takes place and that everyone gets on the stream. Join me in the espresso, the espresso boys. We sipped our espressos with our pinkies out just so, because we are gentlemen, GP. That's how we did it. I thought you were going to Joan and make fun of our espressos, but I'd like you noticed.
Well, I didn't know you were having an espresso until you called attention to it. Mm-hmm. That's a lot to deal with. But we've had so many things that nothing would surprise me. Like if they were like, you know what we have back here? We just decided to fry Oreos with whipped cream. I'm like, what? Why are you doing this? What's
Why
happening?
Did you...
The fried dough thing is still the onesie,
yeah,
if I could say that.
That's about the greatest thing I've ever had.
So there's just nothing better than that, and I'll ever eat anywhere. So as long as we're all on the same page, you can eat whatever else you'd like.
Yeah, good to go. Was your favorite part about the fried dough that it was dipped in all the sugar, or was it the Nutella on top of it?
I think it was the dough part where it got fried.
The fried dough part, yeah.
Remember when they took dough and they dropped it into a fryer?
Yes, I do.
Also, the serving. They gave us a bowl of it. The serving feels like what you would give like a group of basketball players that just got done playing an NBA game or something.
Yeah, where it's like you go, hey, come on by after the game. Well, you know, the whole team will share. It's like, book us for your corporate events. And it's like for a whole party. But it was just Ryan and me, basically.
This is a good day. You know, there are radio shows that are just doing shows in studios.
Losers,
right now.
Right?
Oh, man, does that stink.
It's hard to hear you from all the way up here. You know what I mean? Like, we're better than you guys.
Yeah, exactly. You can boo them. That's fine. We're out and about with the good people.
Peasants.
Of Chantilly. Hanging out at Pupatella Pizza off Route 50. So come on by and say hello. Ian in Vienna wants to hop in. Pick 61 is where the Washington Commanders will be back on the clock. Do they need to trade down or do they want to trade down?
I don't think they should trade down. I had this long conversation with Kevin this morning. I think while the pick of offensive line cannot be criticized at all, because every position, frankly, outside of quarterback is a need. This team could look everywhere and pick a player and people overall would be happy. But again, the defense for the 2024 Commanders was not good. just not good. And Jane Daniels is so exceptional that he covered up every shortcoming of this team. And so for me, this offseason hasn't really enhanced the defense here. I think the re-signings and the additional signings just aren't impactful, if you will. They're just guys. So I want to see impactful defensive playmakers. And that can be at any position. That can be at edge rusher, linebacker, corner, safety, you name it. They need impactful players. And this
Ian, let me ask you a question, because I agree with your premise. But at this point, I feel like, and this isn't an exact thing, I'm just making this up as I go, but like philosophically, would you rather them have 1-6 at all their positions of need or 2-5s? Because to me, that's what this comes down to now, essentially, right? You're talking about impact, but like if they could stick and pick at 61 and get someone a little better than they're going to get 10 or 12 picks later, or they could get two pretty good players that help at two positions where they need help. You'd rather the better player at one of those spots that isn't a great player but might be a little bit better than like two pretty good players at two spots.
Yeah, fair question. And I, of course, understand the notion of more picks is better than less picks. But sure. I think fans overall fall in love with this idea of, quote unquote, nobody knows what they're doing, so let's just get more and more picks. When sometimes the quality's right in front of you, like we've seen time in and time out, like we can go through every one of Washington's drafts, if they had just picked a player one or two spots above, it would have been a far greater player. So I think this notion of, hey, he's not that great, so let's get two less great, is appealing, but not maybe not as effective. If there's a defensive playmaker that you think is there, you just take him and not say, let's take two more swings at a B-plus player, et cetera. So my approach is not over-trading. Take the best talent that you need. And honestly, I need it on the defense because right now the offense is good enough, especially with Jaden. The defense is just not good enough. And this team has higher aspirations now. This is going to be the first offseason in a long time with actual expectations.
Yeah, where you're a favorite for the first time. I thank you as always, dude.
I also, good call. What he's getting to is true, which they were in the NFC title game last year.
Yeah.
I think there's some people who think they could get back there, be in that mix this year. Not with this defense right now.
Right.
I don't know how you would think, unless you're just averaging, and it's funny to say because they did last year at 30 or so points, but you know, 30-plus points a game and Jaden Daniels is playing at an MVP level. Again, those things happened last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mean last year.
So maybe it could just happen again. But yeah, he's right. You do need a lot more on defense. But you could say the same thing about the 29th pick that I just asked him about 61.
Right.
They probably could have traded back and gotten more quantity, and they just loved Connerly so much that they stuck and they grabbed him. If they have a player they like as much at 61, maybe they do the same. But my argument would be the guy you're getting at 61 is not as good as Connerly. I can live with you doing that because that's a plug-and-play starting tackle. At 61, you're getting somebody with enough blemishes to still be there 60 picks into the draft that the juice is not worth the squeeze. I need the quantity.
Well, this was the conversation that surrounded points I was making back in the day when they were debating whether or not they weren't debating. The team knew what they were doing. But when the debate was about Chase Young or trading back, and my point was you need a lot of help. Two starters that are sevens adds up to more than one starter that's even a potential 10, whether you buy him as a 10 or not. That's kind of the same philosophy here. But when you get this deep in the draft, like we're talking about going to the third round, the fourth round, et cetera, you're now approaching replacement level. I mean, they still have another round of free agency where you can find average starter Allen just sort of floating around in the ether. They did a pretty good job of that supplementing a roster. So to me, I kind of get the idea that you want one more premium player. If that guy exists, you got conviction, I wouldn't hate it maybe as much as it sounds like you might in terms of because you want that quantity.
We're about 2 hours and 5 minutes away from figuring some things out in round two as the draft resumes. And we're about 2.5 hours away from the Caps dropping the puck, game three in Montreal tonight. Trying to go up 3-0 in their best of 7 series. Joe Beninati is going to join us next to preview the game on Grant and Danny from Pupatella Pizza, where they are serving the real MVP of flavor with authentic, delicious, hat-trick-worthy Neapolitan pizzas. Grant and Danny on the Fan.